we turn, and we're thankful for what we learn. We rightly divide this truth that we'll show, and we'll know which way to go.
Good afternoon, this is Pastor Craig, and welcome to Study His Word. And had a little break there to let my blood pressure come back down after that last hour was kind of intense, but it's good to be here. And I have in studio today none other than my good friends and brothers in Christ, Bob Goyer and Tom Schultz. Tom, Bob, how are you?
We're great. Thank you for having us in again.
I guess it would help if I would turn your microphones on.
There you go.
Okay, so
we're glad to be here.
All right.
We're glad to be here. Always a pleasure.
Can you talk into that microphone, please?
I can. How's this? Test 1, 2?
Okay, all right.
I feel like I'm in my own studio now.
Okay, and Bob, can you talk into that microphone?
Sure, I can talk. As long as you want me to talk on this.
Okay, there we go. All right. You'd think it was my first day here, trying to get these microphones down. Yeah. Well, again, welcome, and it's good to have you guys here, and you were here a month ago.
Correct.
And so we're going to have another discussion today, and in order to kind of open up the discussion, why don't you, I think, Tom, you're going to kind of do a little bit of a review of what we discussed last week so that we can kind of keep people up to speed.
Yes. The last time Bob and I were here, we were talking about rightly dividing the Word of God. So to recap briefly, we were talking about rightly dividing the Word of God, and we started with a scripture reminder, and I'd like to do that again today. 2 Timothy 2:15, which says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of Truth." So the elements to rightly divide, we have to keep in mind who is speaking, and we talked about that the last time. Who are they speaking to? We talked about that the last time. And what is the context or purpose of that event? We talked briefly about that. And the last element I think is vitally important, and we talked this morning, and I think you two agree. When is this particular thing taking place on the timeline or in the timeline? When is this occurring? I believe that's vitally important. So today I think we're going to focus mostly on the timeline.
Okay.
So Bob had some things that he had printed out and shared with us and he wants to talk about. So I'll let Bob take over.
Well, let me first of all kind of give a very short background. I've always believed in studying the Word, not just reading, but studying. Right. And until maybe 5 years ago, I never even heard the term rightly divide. But once I began to realize that I had not been rightly dividing the Word, that's why I had so many confusing things in my mind. You know, where does this fit? Where does that fit? You know, all those things. And so Tom and I, we were in Bible study together, and we started to really get that, the whole concept of who's speaking, who are they speaking to, in the context. But then it hit me one day, and I don't know where that happened. You know, God just does it. He smacks me in the head. And it was like, well, there's a timeline here, too. You just because it happened, God said it 2,000 years ago, it's not relevant for today. You know, and so, well, how do we work out this timeline? So I began to work on that aspect of it. And that is, like Tom said, very critical in understanding how to really study the Word, because you have to have the timeline down. And let me give just a real quick overview of what I mean by timeline. Another word that's used in the Bible is dispensation. And dispensation, I know some people freak out over that word. I never even paid attention to it before I realized there's a timeline that we need to be aware of. And Paul talked about it frequently, the dispensation. But going back to the beginning in Genesis 1:5, God created time. He created the day, He created the night, and separated them into a day.
If I may, just for, you know, the word dispensation, all it means is a section of time.
Right.
That's all it means. So, you know, things they refer to the dispensation of and then something, or uh-huh. the dispensation of this or that. But it just refers to a time period.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and really how I read that, too, is that it's like a pharmacist dispensing medication. This is how God dispenses himself, so to speak, in a period of time. He dispensed himself differently to Abraham than he dispenses himself, in a sense, to us today. He's the same God. He doesn't change. He changes his method or his way.
How he deals with man.
How he deals with man. Yeah. Yeah. And it's okay, you know. To understand that, that's kind of a revelation in itself. He deals with mankind differently in different time periods. You know, when we get into the New Jerusalem, you know, and the eternity, it's going to be a whole another way of him dealing with. Of course, we won't be mankind anymore. Now we'll be the body of Christ, which we'll talk about that later too.
Well, that's like if we assumed that God dealt with man exactly the same from the day of Adam until us now, then we would be looking at the Bible and we would think that everything in the Bible applied to us. And it wouldn't take very long when all of a sudden you got some things that were that Moses said that would require us to do one thing, and then you've got some other things that Paul has said that would be completely opposite, and there would be one big, we would be so confused. Yeah. We would look at the Bible and say, well, it says, and this is where, like, atheists and critics of the Bible will say, you know, well, you got all these contradictions in your Bible. Mm-hmm. You know, it tells you over here to do this, and it tells you over here to do that, and you got these contradictions. But as you're explaining, and I'll shut up in a minute, but as you're explaining, you know, that at different times, God was dealing a certain way or a different way with people. And basically has a lot to do with, you know, as time goes on, God would reveal more and reveal more and reveal more. But I'll be quiet.
That's good. I mean, those explanations help, you know, to understand. What I like to do before I really get into maybe the different time frames, you know, or dispensation, Tom has a really good way of, he's very practical, very direct, and he has this. He was sharing this well last night and this morning about the cowboy.
Oh,
and this is great illustration of this.
Yeah,
we were discussing the timeline last evening, and it came to me that a lot of people, and I used to be one of them, when I would read the Bible, I would read a story, and I would be into it, and I would be like there, and I was placing myself in that.
Yeah.
And then there was some confusion later when I thought, well, I just learned this, and now I got to go back to reality. So I likened it to somebody that was reading a Western, for example, cattle drive, whatever, and they're reading about sitting around the campfire, and they're getting all the details, and they're learning how that works. They're learning how the guys communicated, and they were just really part of it. Well, the bottom line is that when you close that book, you have to go back to reality. That wasn't you. You were not a cowboy. You could learn a lot, but you're not the cowboy in the book.
Yeah, you're not in that time
zone or that time period,
right? You kind of are there in your imagination,
sure,
or in how you're trying to understand what's going on, but
learning.
You're not there. And I think that's exactly what happens with a lot of Christians. They're reading about Jesus walking the earth. Great. That's great. To imagine yourself being there, you
absolutely
know, the Jesus talking to the Samaritan woman, you know, and at the well, and sharing with her about I am the, you know, the real water of life and all that, and all that, and you put yourself there. But then once you put that down, you're back in, you know, Marion, Ohio, you know, 2024. You're not there. But what's happened was people try and, I don't know how to explain this, bring that time frame into today's world. And that's not what we're supposed to do. That was for then. It's information we can definitely use to our benefit, but it's not for today. And that sounds crazy, I know. What Jesus said while he was on earth is important to us. We can benefit from it, but he was talking to them at that time. He wasn't talking to us at that time.
And I think that's what we're on about. We need to talk about the timeline so that we can put this all in perspective, because we're getting a little
we're pretty excited
about this. Yeah. But.
And just one thing I wanted to say to kind of piggyback off of what you were saying, that's why when you read the writings of Paul, he will say, that was then, this is now.
Right, he does.
Yes.
And when you see that was then, this is now. Yeah. Or he'll say, in times past, but now.
Yes.
And so you have to ask yourself, okay, when I read this, what is he referring to, that was then or in times past, and what is now? So
that's right. That's
so
right.
Go ahead.
Okay. Well, you know, and I'll just mention a couple of verses. Paul referred to the dispensation of the fullness of times. It's not time, it's times. And so that's in Ephesians 1:10. He referred to that. And then in Ephesians 3:2, he talked about the dispensation of the grace of God given to you. Okay, so who's he talking to? Gentiles. He was the apostle to the Gentiles. And who are we? We're the Gentiles. So you got to put these things all together to rightly divide even a scripture like that. So let me, I guess, cover what I call the six different time periods, dispensations, whatever, very general. You know, from Adam to Abraham is about 2,000 years, and that's one dispensation time, we'll call it. And in fact, what I'll mention with that, if you go to Hebrews chapter 11, which everybody calls the chapter of faith, it has in there Abraham, Noah, Enoch, all these Old Testament patriarchs. Mm-hmm. Guess what time period they were living? This first 2,000 years.
Yes.
And so that's in the New Testament, but it's referring back because of their faith. Okay, and then the next time period is from Abraham to Paul. Mm-hmm. Not Abraham to Jesus, and we'll explain that in future times, but Abraham to Paul. Okay, and that was the law. That was the time that God gave the law, and they followed the law. But then when Paul came along, Jesus gave Paul the understanding of grace. And so now, today, we are in the dispensation of grace.
And I want to stop you there for just one second. You know, you made the point that the law was from Abraham to Paul. Because when Jesus was walking the earth doing his ministry, Israel was still under the law.
Right.
And as you know, he expected his disciples to follow the law.
Right.
And he said, I have not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. So they were still living under the law.
Yeah.
Okay,
go ahead. Good point. Great point. That's important. And then now we have the current dispensation, you know, which is about 2,000 years in length. The next dispensation is a little shorter, but it is still a dispensation of how God's going to deal with mankind, and that is the tribulation. So that's a 7-year period of time, how God's going to deal with mankind. And then the next timeline, and the timeline is the kingdom, the 1,000-year reign of Christ on earth, the millennium, as some people refer to it. And so that's from that's during that time that Jesus is on the earth. And then from that point on, it's eternity. There's no time no longer exists. You just go into eternity.
Right.
So that's kind of a very broad brushstroke of the timelines. But it gives people perspective, I think, of how, you know, there's the past time, future time, but we're in the now time.
Right. So what we have is, there was from Adam to Abraham, that was the first. Mm-hmm. Then from Abraham to Paul, that was the second. Then we have the period of the tribulation, the 7 years tribulation. And then we have the 1,000 years of Christ ruling, and then we have the new heavens and the new earth.
Right, right.
So now, part of, I just want to interject at this point.
Okay.
Part of the reason that dispensationalism, that is studying, and all dispensationalism is studying the Bible in time sections, using these time sections to study the Bible. That's dispensationalism. Some of the bad rap that dispensationalism has gotten has because there have been scholars and theologians over the years who have said, well, there's seven dispensations. Or they've said, no, there's only three dispensations. So what you have happen is you have some disagreements into how many of these time periods they are. You know, how finely do you want to break them down? And so, you know, that has led to a lot of the bad rap that it's gotten. But, you know, most of people that study their Bible dispensationally, these breakdowns are very apparent and easy to see once you kind of get used to it. And by and large, people tend to agree on these. Where they get into disagreements is in really in the minutia of things. Like, for instance, there are those that will say, well, the dispensation of grace started in Acts 3.
Right. Right.
And then you have those that say, no, the dispensation of grace didn't start till Acts 10, 9 or 10. You've got some, you know, it's Acts 17. So, you know, so in that, that's where some of the confusion has come and some of the criticism has come. But I would say, you know, by and large, you've got these six periods. They cover it pretty well. You know, if you want to argue about whether it begins in Acts 3 or Acts, you know, whatever, that's fine. But the important thing is to be able to see these big definitions and where the time periods begin and where they start.
You know, you mentioned, you know, people get, you know, in disagreement. When the rapture occurs is also one of those that is a big disagreement. Which, and again, I'm sure we'll be getting into that in future sessions. But right now, we're just trying to lay the groundwork that there are these time periods that God is dealing with mankind. How is He dealing with mankind? And since faith is always required for salvation, and the only way we can ever please God is by faith, then we have to understand how faith works in each of these dispensations as well.
Right, because actually, and I'm more than happy to let you run with it, in the dispensations, faith took on a different look each time, because each time there was more and more and more revelation from God of what His ultimate plan was.
Yeah.
You know, a person in the first period, Adam to Abraham, could have faith.
Yeah.
You know, he could see that there was a God. He could know that there was a God. He could see the evidence of a God, but he certainly didn't know about Jesus Christ dying on the cross.
Right.
He had no way of knowing.
Right.
So it's always been on faith, and the faith has taken on a different look based on really what the revelation, how much information a person had.
Yeah. Tom, pick up from there.
And that brings us back to, we're talking about the timeline, and that was the last element in of importance in rightly dividing the word. So if we look at the timeline, we really have to figure out and come to terms with where we come into this timeline. Bob, you want to talk about that?
Well, go ahead.
You're on
a roll. Yes.
We were talking about this morning, and Bob had this all laid out.
Please, no fights. No fights.
Bob had this all laid out, so I thought I'd give him opportunity to say this. We came into the picture with the revelation that Paul got from Jesus Christ. He was given the gospel of grace to the Gentiles. Now, that's where I personally became involved in this on the timeline. While we're studying and we're taking into account who's talking, who are they talking to, what's the context, and where is this on the timeline, that's where I was talking about before. I can read a cowboy book, but that don't make me a cowboy. So we can look at so many scriptures and see a deep meaning, a new understanding of God, get revelation, get good stuff, godly principles, but we have to be careful to not put myself in that position as if that were directly to me, for me, because I'm alive.
I'm going to jump in here if I
do
can
it
for
do
a
it.
Second.
Help me out there.
You're absolutely right.
I'll give you my soapbox. Slide it over there,
Tom. You're absolutely right, and I think that's the cowboy analogy is a perfect one, and I can give you a real life example of how we do that cowboy, scenario, putting ourselves back in there and thinking I'm a cowboy. Yeah. And that is, people do that when they take Old Testament verses and they say it applies now. 2 Chronicles 7:14.
Yeah, there's a good one.
And, people want to, there are people have that on a sign in their front yard. God is going to heal our land if we turn to Him and repent. And the problem is, that was an ongoing conversation Solomon was having with God. The temple had just been built. They were dedicating the temple. And Solomon, you can read it in 2 Chronicles chapter 6. Solomon has this long prayer to God, and he's itemizing the problems that Israel had at that time. And he was asking God what could be done. And so God's answer in 2 Chronicles 7 is, God answers Solomon and says, if you do this and you do this and you do this and I'll do this and I'll do this. And so that was God dealing through Solomon with Israel back then. And we can learn a lot from that.
Absolutely.
We can learn about how faithful God is to His promises. Mm-hmm. We can learn how God will hear from people who turn to Him, mm-hmm, when they've been totally had their back to Him and they turn to Him, how He will hear from them. But what that doesn't do is that doesn't in any way, we can't fast forward that to America today and say, God, do this in America, because none of it applies to America. The situations aren't there.
Right.
I believe you just perfectly, rightly divided that scripture. No, I'm serious. Yeah. You took into account who was speaking, and you had it accurate. Who is he speaking to? You were accurate. What is the context? You had the full story. That's awesome. And then you placed it on the timeline. When did it appear? Keeping in mind where you came into the timeline. Right. That is absolutely perfect. My job is done, fellas.
No. No, because I'm going to shut up now and you're back on the microphone.
Well, we're talking about this, what happened in a different time frame. Jesus walking the earth. Okay, I think this is probably getting on, this could, somebody could, I could be stepping on somebody's toes. I don't know. But I still believe this is rightly dividing. Because Jesus, when he was on the earth, he said many great things, things that we can still apply to our lives today. But he did say, I only come for the lost sheep of Israel. And he told his disciples, only go to the lost sheep of Israel. He never changed that message.
Correct.
He never said, now don't do that anymore.
He specifically in Matthew 10 told them not to go into the Gentile cities.
Right. In fact, they were considered dogs. They were considered, now there were a couple instances where he did deal with them, but God's sovereign. He can do whatever he wants. But at the same time, so Jesus spoke, and people think, okay, because he said go into all the world and cast out demons and all that, we're supposed to go out and cast out demons and all that kind of stuff now. Well, okay, so you have to remember who's speaking, who he's speaking to, and the timeline there. Okay, but Jesus, he's still speaking, and he's speaking in today's time, and that's through Paul. And Paul, he's the one who revealed the gospel of grace, the mysteries, there, all these things that are in his epistles. But people, I don't know what it is. I mean, I was there. I know what it's like. you thought, well, you got to read the red. That's all you're supposed to really know and understand. When that was then, and it is important, but today, God is still speaking. Jesus is still speaking. He just is speaking through Paul to us. So I don't know if that helps me.
It does. Let me help you out with that. When Paul talks about Jesus, he talks about Jesus said, Jesus did, Jesus.
Yeah.
When he talks about the relationship we have today, he says the risen Christ, yeah. And it's a spiritual.
Yeah.
He's in us. We're in him. It is a spiritual. It is not the same relationship that it was.
Well, in fact,
before
Paul said, "I do not know Jesus after the flesh." He wasn't. He knew Jesus was in the flesh, but Jesus had a different mission when he was in the flesh here on earth. His mission now, you know, where is Jesus right now? He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. What is he doing? He's praying for us, and he has. It's a different mission, so to speak, and it's a different message that he has. We are now, if you're a believer, if you've been immersed into Christ, you are now a new creation in Christ. You are now seated in heavenly places in Christ. You're no longer walking the road of Emmaus with Jesus, like his disciples did. We are now seated with him in heavenly places in Christ. So it's a totally different perspective and reality.
Ours is spiritual. Theirs was natural.
Yeah.
And when he was walking the earth and training the disciples and the future apostles and all that, you know, they were still under the law. And Jesus had not gone to the cross yet.
Yeah.
Jesus had not shed his blood for the forgiveness of sins. Am I checking off the boxes?
You're doing half of my notes here. which is good.
He had not yet gone to the cross yet. They didn't know about the forgiveness of sins through the shed blood of Christ. They didn't know about grace. You know, we talk about grace in the church today. I mean, I was going to say that's all we talk about. That's not all we talk about, but we talk about it. And it's always, you know, salvation by faith through grace.
Yeah.
But Jesus didn't preach grace to them because we weren't far in that program yet.
Right.
So that's why you have to understand that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, as he's teaching the disciples, the message he's giving them is missing a lot of things because they didn't know anything about it. He, like I said, he hadn't gone to the cross yet. So he's not going to talk about grace. He's not going to talk about the shed blood. So understand that then, you know, he's crucified, and then, you know, Paul is struck on the road to Damascus, and then Paul gets the mystery revealed to him, not the other apostles. It's revealed to him. And so now Paul has this message that he was given, and basically what it is, it's like if Jesus was out delivering the message 2.0, then Paul's out delivering 2.1 or 2.2. It's just there was more revelation to him, therefore we've got more revelation. So when we read the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we read the things that Jesus taught them, we have to read it through the lens of this was his message to them at this time. How does it apply to me? Well, it applies to me as I see it through Paul's writings.
Right. You know, that reminds me, last time we were on, the term born again came up, which, you know, when Jesus was on the earth, he said, you must be born again. Paul never used that language. Paul said, you have to become a new creation in Christ. It's different.
Right.
Born again is not the same as being immersed or saved by the blood of Jesus. It's not the same.
Correct.
The gospel of the kingdom, which Jesus preached, John the Baptist preached, Peter preached, is not the same as the same gospel that Paul preached, the gospel of grace.
Stealing all my notes, Bob.
So I was going to ask Tom. Tom has a really good, like, we'll call it comparison here. You know, this is then and this is now. You want to show the contrast?
With the with the word. Oh, I'm sorry. You're talking. I thought you were talking about something else.
Well, now that we want to get to that. Too,
yeah, we'll get to that probably. Maybe not today.
Yeah.
143. Okay.
We might.
Some differences between gospel of the kingdom and gospel of grace.
And just point out again. I know it's redundant, but the gospel of the kingdom was what the apostles were preaching.
Yes.
Peter at Pentecost, on the day of Pentecost, he was preaching the gospel of the kingdom.
Right.
James, John, Paul preaches the gospel of grace. Okay, I'm sorry,
that
go ahead.
That is true. You forgot to add Jesus in that. Jesus preached the gospel of the kingdom.
Correct.
So the gospel of the kingdom was to the Jews, Jewish people, Israel. The gospel of grace was preached to the Gentiles, specifically. So there are some tremendous differences. The gospel of the kingdom had rules, tradition, rituals, and the law. For us, gospel of grace has freedom and the love of God. And like Bob said, it is a spiritual thing where we are reconciled to God through grace. The gospel of the kingdom, people had to follow the law. We, under grace, follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. The gospel of the kingdom, there was the hope for something to come. Gospel of grace, ours is a functional relationship now. So those are just some major differences in the two.
And to I think, add on to that for even clarifying more, is there's the gospel of the kingdom and the gospel of grace. Explain that word of.
Oh, the word of in that, I believe it means to be from or according to. So the gospel of the kingdom was according to the kingdom.
Right.
The gospel of grace is according to God's grace.
God's grace. Yeah. So, these are all things that we have discovered over, over time, realizing that what we had learned was wrong. Even though we had faith, we were born again, new creations in Christ. I almost said born again.
You got him.
I stopped myself though. But see, we even we're so used to saying these things, we just think that's what is Christianese. It's you're following Christianity, you're not following the risen Christ. Instead, so we use the wrong terms at the wrong time in the wrong way.
So it's important. I'll add to that, Bob. It's important to note that we didn't just come up with these things. These aren't new things that we just decided to come up with.
Yeah.
This came from connecting the dots from rightly dividing the word.
Good
when you start to rightly divide, things start to make sense.
Yeah.
And when dot A makes sense, and you're studying a few days later, all of a sudden dot B makes sense. And when you connect the two, you're pretty soon connected A, B, C, D. And you're like, oh my goodness.
Yeah. Here's for me, this example comes up. This was a good example for me to understand all this. Was Jesus said, if you forgive others, your Father in heaven will forgive you.
And he said, and if you don't forgive others, your Father in heaven will not forgive you.
Okay. And I always knew, well, that doesn't fit with what I believe is in, further into the New Testament there. Where we're saved by grace through faith. Okay, it's not a matter of we're forgiven. Our sins are all forgiven at the cross. In fact, our sins were nailed at the cross.
How many times have you heard a preacher say in church, your sins are forgiven, past, present, and future? Okay?
Yeah, right.
And it's true.
Yes.
It's true. But if your sins are forgiven, past, present, and future, then why did Jesus say, if you forgive others, your sins will be forgiven. And if you don't forgive others, your Father will not forgive you.
Yeah, and that's just one of many.
I know the answer to that.
Go ahead, Tom.
because he was speaking the purpose of his Father for that time.
Yep. Thank you.
All right. And he was speaking to
Jews under the law.
Jewish people.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
So now, in under grace...
You mean,
and what Paul even says, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, you mean the whole Bible isn't for me today?
No, it's not for you today. No, the whole Bible is for you today.
Yeah.
But the whole Bible is given to you for you to properly interpret it so that you can get what specifics apply to you and not try to apply the specifics from centuries ago that applied to somebody else.
You mean like back in under the law, if a child was disrespectful to their parent, they were stoned? What, that doesn't apply today?
Unfortunately, it does not apply today. I'm sure that there were times when you wanted to use the Bible to justify stoning your kids.
Yeah. We laughed about that last month also.
Yeah, it just
yeah. But, you know, and Paul says that we are to forgive others as we have been forgiven.
Right.
So, you know, in other words, Paul's saying, look, you have been forgiven. So the expected outworking of you being forgiven is that you should forgive others.
But you don't lose your salvation.
Right.
You don't lose your standing with God because you are still forgiven.
Right. And see, that one of the things that was really confusing for me back in my days when I was, you know, I went to, you know, the typical church that people go to. And by the way, I think that the biggest blame falls on the pastors of the churches today for not properly teaching the Bible. And most of the time it's because they themselves were not properly informed. And so what happens is a person goes to a church and they're talking all this Christianese that they talk about in church, and you hear all these things, but you never get taught on those things. You hear about forgiveness and you hear about baptism and you hear about tithing, but you never get really taught on those kind of things. When I started having problems with that, the forgiveness thing, you know, I asked a pastor one time, because and he said, you know, these two things seem contradictory. And oh no, they're not contradictory. You know, what Jesus was saying is that if you don't forgive others, that's going to affect your relationship with God. That's going to interfere with your relationship with God. And I'd say, but it says in the Bible that he won't forgive me. And he says, well, that's right, because you aren't extending that to other people, but that won't have any effect on your salvation. And you know, if you just stop and think what they're telling you, that you can have unforgiven sin but it won't affect your salvation, I mean, they don't make any sense. They just don't make sense. That's why you have to put yourself in the right time period.
Right.
Yes. We're all looking at each other like, who's going to go next?
Who's going next?
Well, okay, so to kind of just bring this back, I guess, is these time periods or dispensations are critical in understanding and rightly dividing the word.
Right.
And if this is like new information, I've never heard this before, you know, think about it. You use your God-given brain to really, and it's okay to ask questions. It's okay to say, what do you mean? I know where I used to go to church, if I asked a question, I don't know if I agree with that, they would say, well, that's just our conviction. If you don't believe like we do, then you can go somewhere else. I mean, it was like dismissing the very thing I was just trying to find the truth. You know, a big thing for me at the beginning, this is now many years ago, I was just trying to rightly divide the word. I didn't call it that back then, was on tithing, which we're not going, I don't want to get in tithing now, but that's what really, I had questions. And I was asking questions. They didn't like the questions because they didn't have the answers.
Right.
Okay. And so when people don't have the answers to your questions and they just go, well, just, you know, go pray about that, or, you know, we'll cover that later, and you're dismissing somebody's honest, sincere questioning, I really wonder about that person that's giving you that kind of advice. And maybe you should move on somewhere else where they're willing to answer the questions.
You know, Bob and I study a lot together. We get our wives together. We get other people together. One question that we ask each other a lot when we're studying Scripture, we get somebody says, oh, I just read this and this and this. Bob or I or somebody will ask, Who is that to? Is, and specifically, we say, is that for the Jewish people? Or is that for us Gentiles? Mm-hmm. And that makes everybody stop and think for a second. And we have to really look at it. Well, now, who is it to really? And then we start digging into the context. We start looking at what purpose that was, what was going on at that time. It really helps dig. So I would encourage everyone to ask yourself that question. Mm-hmm. Who is this to me, or was this to the Jewish people, or was this specifically to Abraham? Who, what is going on here? Right. Ask that question, and if you get the answer to that, mm-hmm. it'll probably help you understand most everything else that right. you're going to read.
Yeah, if you apply those principles, and you may, we may not always rightly divide. I mean, we're not. Sometimes you just the way it's worded, you know, like depending on what translation you're reading too. That's a whole nother topic. That's all a part of rightly dividing too, because what King James says is different than what the NIV says, which is different than American Standard or whatever it versions are, and they all say something different. Well, who's right? They may all be right, or they may all be wrong, but you know, God's word, there's only one God's word. Interpretations are only as good as the man trying to interpret it. You still got to dig down and get to the very core truth that God is sharing or revealing through his word. And that's not easy sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think Craig did a wonderful job with the scripture you brought up earlier.
Well,
that
Craig, he's just
beautiful. That was
just
a beautiful
we
job.
Just, we
of
just
kind of
did, you don't, Greg, he just
that was
yeah.
a wonderful
it just
example.
It flows out of his.
We're
you know.
Close on time, but I had I was going to go over a few. I thought maybe we could just discuss
sure, yeah,
a scripture
yeah.
or two.
Throw one out
just
there.
Do, throw
I,
one out.
I
throw one out.
My, there. I already put my paper
well,
away.
Well, get
since
it out,
did,
Tom. Yeah.
Since Craig did such
lay
a
it
good
on the
job,
table. Tom's a guy that says I'm going to lay it on the table.
I have a habit of just. Laying things out. Sometimes people like it. Sometimes people just don't want to hear the truth laid out like that. Bob and I compliment each other. I'm pretty straightforward. Just lay it out there. And Bob looks at me like, oh, Tom. Oh, easy now. Easy now. Okay, so if we look at, let's look in Acts 2:38. Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So if we break this down, who is speaking?
Peter.
Peter. Who is he speaking to?
Well, that was on the day of Pentecost, and it was the, quote, men of Israel, house of Israel.
That
he
is
actually,
correct.
Does it actually say
he
that?
Yeah, he addresses, he says, yeah. you men of Israel.
It does. He says,
I
mean, you
men he
of
doesn't
Israel.
Say men of Israel and others standing around just
no.
by chance.
No. All right, no. moving on. And what is the context, briefly? I mean, you give me just a quick brief. What was the context?
The context, it was after the, it was the context of Peter speaking. Oh, yeah. It was speaking to the Jews who had come to Jerusalem for the feast of Pentecost.
Absolutely correct. And Bob, if we look at the timeline, when did this occur on the timeline?
Well, it occurred after the ascension, but before Paul's ministry began. So there's that period of time, which you could, if you talked about, you could segment this even, parse it out a little more. This would be parsing it a little more this time, this time frame,
okay.
The transition from the law to grace.
Right. And if we look at that timeline and see when this occurred, if we then look at where exactly did we come into the picture, we can see that we didn't come in until after Paul was given the revelation of the gospel of grace to us, and this occurred before that. Mm-hmm. So can I put myself in this place and say, oh, what Peter said right there, that is for me?
You can't, because it wasn't directed to you.
Can't do it.
No.
So there's just one example of rightly dividing, and we went through that pretty quick.
Yeah.
But take your time and study,
yeah.
and let these things be crystal clear.
And so... If you're rightly dividing this and you say, well, it says, they said, what shall we do to be saved? And he gave the answer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you have to repent, you have to be baptized, you have to believe in the, you know.
You're okay.
So that was the answer. So how mm-hmm. do you deal with that answer? since it's in that time frame and so on.
Right. How we deal with that is we have to continue to connect dots and take things in their proper context when they occurred. So baptism then, we're talking about before Paul was given the revelation, has a different meaning now than it did then. Paul talks about baptism as a spiritual thing, not a physical thing. So we can talk about that another day, I think. But
a simple answer to Bob's question was, okay, how do you take that? Okay, who is speaking? Peter. Who is he speaking to?
The men of Israel.
Okay, what was the context? Well, they wanted to know what they had to do to be saved.
Right.
Okay, so he gave them their answer. Now, we weren't living to, you know, we were not from that time period. We're not Jews. We're Gentiles. So we say, well, I'm a Gentile, so how does that apply? Well, who's my apostle? Paul. Okay, so I'll turn to Paul's writings. What does it say more than once about what do I have to do to be saved? And what does Paul say? Believe. Believe on the Lord. Believe on Jesus Christ, and you will be saved.
Yeah.
Period. And you will be saved.
And if you want to really get the expanded version of that,
mm-hmm.
go to 1 Corinthians 15:1-5, and it says that believe in the gospel of grace that Jesus came, he died, he rose again. That's the gospel of grace.
That's the gospel of grace. And what you have to do is believe. All right. Gosh, gentlemen, we're out of time. Can you believe that?
Oh, it goes fast.
Yeah. Well, thank you for stopping by.
Oh, this is fun. This is as much fun as you can.
And one thing I will tell my listeners is Bob and Tom. I can't say it that way because I'm license infringement.
Go the other way.
Tom and Bob.
There you go.
Tom and Bob will be coming back here on a regular basis. We're going to have these kinds of discussions on a regular basis. And I would encourage any of you out there, if you have questions about the things we discuss on this, either now or in the future, if you have concerns or if you just have a question, you want to know more, anything, you can email me at studyhiswordministries@yahoo.com. Again, that's studyhiswordministries@yahoo.com. And if you contact me with a question, I will reply back to you. And, you know, we might even use your question, not your name, but we might even use your question for a jumping off point on future discussions. So, again, please do not hesitate to contact me. If you have any questions at all, comments are also welcome. So, again, thanks for being here. I'm signing off after 6 hours on the radio. Going to take a little breather, then head over for Mary Ellen's reception. And so, again, thank you much.
Hillary and Obama, the talking place, streaming live on the internet at www.